welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ of the World broadcast. I'm so glad you joined me, and I just pray that your heart is touched and stirred by the presence of the Lord, by the Spirit of God, because even as I minister, even in a teaching format, the Word of God, it's my prayer that the Spirit of God will minister to you, that we can be refreshed just as we hear the Word. If I did nothing but read Scripture on this broadcast, praise God, you and I both could be blessed. Amen. But as a child of God, the most important thing you have is your relationship with God. And I so enjoy our times together because as I seek God, there's so many things I want to be bringing in the future, but the most important thing we possess as a child of God is our relationship with the Lord. And what is the foundation of that relationship? Well, it's none other than prayer. And because of that, I felt to just spend these next several broadcasts ministering on the basic subject of prayer. Because if you're new in the Lord, these are some things you need to know. And if you walk with the Lord for many years, it is always good to hear and be refreshed by the truths that have been even as foundational truths in your life and Christian walk. I know many times, my heart, sometimes when I was younger, I thought, well, you know, I don't need to hear that. I already know that. Well, listen, the older you get and wiser and more mature in the Lord, the more you appreciate the basics, the foundations. Yes, God can give great and great revelation, but there's such revelation in the simplicity. What's the most profound message of the Bible? The cross of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. You don't get any better than that. You don't get any greater revelation than that. Amen. So I want to talk to you about some prayer, and let's just sort of just relax our hearts. And Father, I just ask for your blessings, Lord, as we share on this subject of prayer, that you would open up. Spirit of God, you are the illumination of the Word of God. You give revelation. You exalt. You reveal Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you'd come and just quicken to our hearts truths that we need to apply in our daily lives, a greater understanding, a greater appreciation for this privilege we have as children of God. Thank you for it, Lord. Well, not only is the subject of prayer a subject that concerns every Christian, but it is in fact our lifeline to God. It's rather like using the telephone, if I could give sort of a technical example. When we want to talk to someone at a great distance, what do? We don't sometimes have time to write a letter and wait for it to be delivered and for an answer to come back. Well, we use our telephone. We dial the number. In a matter of moments, if our party's home or at the office, we hear them answer or leave the message machine comes on. Well, prayer might be compared to a divine telephone system, if you will, and how that's how we make our connection with God. But the wonderful thing is there's never any charge, nor do we ever find the circuits busy. Prayer is not only the way in which we make our petitions verbally known to God, it's also the way we fellowship and commune with Him. By definition, the word pray means simply to ask earnestly, to entreat, to petition, to make a request to God. Every person who is saved has to pray. When an individual accepts the forgiveness of God and believes on the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, that person then makes an open confession to and of Jesus Christ. So prayer, then, is the act of praying, the words used, the thing asked for, a petition to God. And without prayer, without doing this, it's impossible to live a victorious Christian life. Prayer to a Christian is simply a conversation between that individual and God. And prayer is not new. It didn't come into being with the advent of Jesus on this earth over 2,000 years ago. Prayer began back in the time of Adam and Eve. It was the third son that God gave to Adam and Eve, Seth by name, who also had a son by the name of Enos, who began prayer. Genesis 4:26 says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." The psalmist David proclaimed the universal need of all men to pray. Psalm 65:2 says, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." God wants his people to talk to him or to pray. The Church of Jesus Christ, the word says, is to be a house of prayer. Isaiah 56:7 says, "Mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." Now, another consideration to think of is that without prayer, the Christian is open to diverse temptations. As I said earlier, prayer is our lifeline to God. Prayer enables us to put the deeds of the flesh under submission to the Lord. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptations. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He said in Luke the 18th chapter, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Instead of throwing up our hands because of the fierceness of the battle, whether it's a spiritual one or physical or financial or whatever you're facing, particularly, specifically today, what is the Lord to say is saying to us? You're entreated to pray. As we look at the Word of God, we see great men and women of Scripture prayed, and God answered their prayers mightily. The example of Moses, Gideon, Hannah, Samuel, Solomon, Elijah, Hezekiah, Zechariah, and many others. And we look at Acts, we see the early church certainly prayed, and God was with them and answered their prayers. As we read the Psalms, we can see that David was a man who knew God. He knew the bitterness of sin and the sorrows caused by sin. He knew the consequences that were pronounced because of sin. But also he knew the mercy of God. He experienced God's forgiveness and the power of God in his life. God promises to us that prayer will be answered. Psalm 91:15 says, this is the Lord speaking, "He shall call upon thee, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Isaiah 65:24 says, "Then it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Hallelujah. Jesus tells us in Luke 11:9, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Now, there are certain requirements that are given in Scripture to every Christian, which are prerequisites, if you will, for answered prayer. Today, you know, many people want God to do everything that they ask, but there's another side to the coin. They're not willing to do what God asks, or they've not consecrated their lives to God, and they're not living a Christian life as they should according to the Word of God. Listen to this. We sometimes focus on what the promise is, but listen to the condition. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Well, we focus on, if we ask, you know, whatever you ask, it will be done unto you. But Jesus said, you have to abide in me, which we do as to being, you know, saved, and my words abide in you. Well, that's a whole another dimension. We can abide in the Lord, not have his words abide in us. As we move into that abiding place in Christ Jesus, what happens? Well, we present our lives a living sacrifice to him, as it tells us to in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1. And as we do this, what happens? Well, our lives come under the light or the searchlight of God's Word. Anything that doesn't measure up to the standard of God's Word is put away. God wants to get that out of us. We ask forgiveness. That's how we can do that. We then repent, and forgiveness is given to us, and we are then in accord with the Word of God. We're in right standing with the Lord. Then we can ask the Lord for those things that we need. We're admonished by the Lord Jesus Christ to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added to you. That's Matthew 6:33. And as we look at the life of Jesus, we know, we understand, he is our example. So as we look at what is revealed of Jesus, his life in the Gospels, we see that he devoted a considerable amount of time to teaching his disciples about the power of prayer, and also he spent time in prayer himself. He gave himself so utterly to prayer that it's little wonder that he requires the same from us, his children. After 20 centuries, prayer is as important to the church and to the children of God as it was in the first century. The apostles taught and practiced prayer. They led and taught the early church to pray, and have left us the gems of God's will in Holy Scripture, showing us how we too can touch God in prayer and receive an answer. The prayers of Christians should be characterized by complete faith in their Heavenly Father. The 12 disciples were taught to call on God as Father, and as they learned to call on God as their Father, they were inspired in their hearts to believe and to trust in his holy promises that their Father God would be able and willing to give what they ask for, because God was their Father, and this was a new revelation for them. They had always known him as Jehovah God. He had their welfare at heart, and because he was their Heavenly Father, there was no room for their doubting his ability to act on their prayers, because he was all-powerful. Praise God. This is a wonderful inspiration to us, that God not only wants to answer our prayer, he has all power in heaven and earth, and he's more than able to do it. Praise God. Well, I see my time is getting away, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I hope you'll be able to be with us tomorrow at the same time. The announcer will give our mailing address. Till then, this is Sister Glass, and may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.